Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Chapter 39, Book of Jeremiah with Jonathan and David on WBFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, having a lot of fun in Jeremiah today. God never said you had to be stately and sober when you read this book. Laugh it up sometimes. This book is full of amazing beauty. Sometimes it's just so hard not to chuckle at these guys. They're given grace after grace after grace, and they keep denying it. They're giving chance after chance to obey, and they keep denying it. They watch God do these amazing miracles, and then a month later, they want to go back to Egypt. It just, sometimes it's comical, and it's okay. This God is the God of love and joy. It's okay to enjoy his book. Jonathan and I have an awesome time in here reading God's word. It's the highlight of my day every day.
Same here.
Chapter 39. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken. So all of the grace, all of the last chances that God gave the king and the people, I'm sure some of the people took those grace tidbits and walked away, like God said, but they disobeyed. It wasn't that they just said no, they disobeyed God. It's the only sin in this book. And every time God told them to do this, just go with them, they disobeyed God. What other outcome could there possibly be? When you disobey God, you will be punished. The punishment can be a little bit. You know, you disobey a little bit, punishment's a little bit. You keep disobeying over 23 years. Mm-hmm. Trust me, it's going to come down harsh. But God gave them one last chance in the last couple of months. Just go with them, guys. I got you. Nah, I can't do that. I'm a king. I'm royal. I have my army. We'll be fine. No, it ain't that. He disobeyed God. God's last commandment to him, just go with him. Absolutely not, sir. Absolutely not, father. I won't do it. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Even, here we go, Nergal-Sharezer. 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 Yeah, there you go. It's not so bad. Nergal-Sharezer. I kind of like it.
Yeah, go out there and scream that one. Come in for dinner.
Here's another one. You go with this one, Jonathan.
Samgar-Nebo?
Yours was easier than mine.
Yeah.
Samgar-Nebo. Sar-Sechem, Rab-Saris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rab-Mag, and all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. I liked it, and all the rest of them.
Yep.
Glad right. They didn't chronicle it out. It could have been two pages of them in here. And it came to pass that Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them, and all the men of war. Then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. So they're running. They're running for their lives, and God said, just go with them.
Mm-hmm.
The Chaldean army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Now remember, this is Nebuchadnezzar. God calls him my servant.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the children of Israel got out of line, God would send somebody in, another nation, and toward the last part, he started using Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, as a thumping stick to put his children in line. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. And what did God tell them in the last chapter? To write an addendum to the scroll, because you did not listen to me and you burned my first scroll. You and your sons will die. No one from your line will sit on the throne ever again. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar, The captain of the guard carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Wow. All the poor people he left there and gave them the possessions of those who had them before. That's pretty cool. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, "Take him and look well to him and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." Wow. Is that not God's intervention there? God's holy man? You know, Jeremiah was worried about the king killing him, worried about all the nobles killing him. He never said anything about the Babylonian army killing him. Did he know God was going to protect him? Obviously. He's out doing God's work. He should have been a little stronger when it came to the king and the nobles. But, you know, this body, this flesh is fearsome. It fears. Even when the spirit man is in control, the flesh can quiver and shake. Can bring the spirit man into subjection over fear sometimes. So they took him. They said, yeah, take him. Do well by him. In fact, do what he says. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebuchadnezzar, Rabsaris, and Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmak, and all the other, and all the king of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Echkim, the son of Shaphan, and that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon the city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee." And we just did a little time warp backwards there. We do that in Jeremiah and Isaiah. We time warp forwards and backwards. "But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men whom thou art afraid." Now those two passages, in my opinion, should have been a few verses earlier. But we read what happened, and then we read that God had told Jeremiah that he would protect him during this time. "For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." Very powerful, number 18. "Thou hast put thy trust in me." Christian, do you put your trust in God? Or do you put your trust in your church or your pastor? Or your employer? God forbid you put your trust in the government. That's not going to get you anywhere. You got to trust God in all aspects of life. You got to trust God in all situations of life. And you can't just trust God when you find yourself in the ditch. You got to trust God before you get in the ditch. That way you won't get in the ditch. The ditch is on both sides of the road to glory. It's up to the spirit man to keep control of the carnal mind, which is contrary to the will of God. Keep yourself in the middle of the road so you don't end up in the ditch. We all find God when we're in the ditch. You got to keep God before you get into the ditch. You keep a relationship with him. Not by the things of works of your hands, by a daily presence, a daily conversation with God. Chapter 40, book of Jeremiah. "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place." The captain said that because what I said earlier, Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God. And after Daniel gets there, he will become a very, very pronounced servant of God after Daniel's done dealing with him. But apparently his captains also, the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said, because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore, thus thing is come upon you. Now this is coming from outsiders. These are not Jews. Speaking of the Lord thy God and what he has pronounced and how it's actually come, these guys believe in the Almighty God. Mm-hmm. We see that time and time again in the Old Testament. Outsiders coming to Israel already knowing and having a relationship with God. It was never about only the Jews. The Jews were a special people constructed for a single purpose, to bring forth a perfect line for the Messiah to indwell. God never excluded the world. God so loved the world. The world, not the Jews. He gave his only begotten son. The world. Mm-hmm. It bound up in the special people. Yes, God's special ones, his priest line. But he never excluded anyone. It covenants with all these people all over the lands of the world, not just the Jews.
It's funny you say that, because I was actually, that kind of opened up in my head a minute ago, was Nebuchadnezzar and everyone in Babylon already had their established ways of worship and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right. And God was okay with that, because he was bringing his people in to do what needed to be done for the correction.
Exactly.
And I may not, you know the nuts and bolts behind how they were worshiping and stuff like that, but apparently God was okay with them.
God, yeah. There was a lot of pagan worship there, but there was a big sect following God there also.
Yeah. And I know that's kind of a murky area. Yeah. But yeah.
And after the Jews got there, the entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me unto Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whether it seem good and convenient for thee to go, hither go. So captain takes his chains off and says, you're a free man. If you come with me, I'll take good care of you. Or you can go wherever you want. Now while he was not yet gone back, he said, go back also to Gebaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wherever it seemeth convenient unto thee to go. These men have more regard for the prophet of God than the Jews did.
His own people.
Yes, his own people. All they wanted to do was kill him.
Yeah.
You say bad things, you must die. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward and let him go. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Now when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor of the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Joathan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, and Sariah, the son of Tanhumith, and the sons of Epah, and Oh my gosh.
You're so good.
No, I was rolling, man. I'm thinking, and that's what happened. My brain says, man, you're nailing it. That little stray thought got in the way. Yep. Man, you're nailing. Oh, no.
Yeah. That's usually when I stub my toe or something.
Epa, the Netothathite, and Jezaniah, the son of Machathite, they and their men. And Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swear unto them and to their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans, dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. Words of the Almighty God. God had said that over and over the last 23 years. Just serve the king of Babylon, and I'll make your punishment very, very minor. Mm-hmm. You just, basically, when another king goes into servitude of another king, it is a humbling process. He wanted to humble the king and the nobles. He could do it in a minor way, just go into servitude. And they did three times, but they rebelled three times. Mm-hmm. Why the king of Babylon finally said, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with this rebellion. God said, go and drag them off. Take the ones that go with you and treat them nicely. Or the ones that don't go with you, burn the place down. It could have been done so easily if they would have only obeyed. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye gather ye wine and the summer fruits and oil and put them in your vessels and dwell in your cities that ye have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom and that were in all the countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and that they had not sent over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. Even all the Jews returned out of all places, whither they were driven, came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah unto Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. Moreover, Jehonan, the son of Keriah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields came to Gedaliah to Mizpah. And said unto him, dost thou certainly know that Balas, the king of the Ammonites, hath sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed them not. And Johanan, the son of Kariah, spake to Gedaliah in Mizpah secretly, saying, let me go, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no man shall know it. Already the vacuum, by the government being taken down, all sorts of little men trying to take control of the country. Wherefore should he slay thee, that all the Jews which are gathered unto thee should be scattered, and the remnant of Judah perished? And Gedaliah the son of Ahikam said unto Jonan the son of Kara, thou shalt not do this thing, for thou speakest falsely of Ishmael. So, did he take good counsel or not? He didn't want to kill him for some reason. Let's find out. Mm-hmm. Now, it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed of royal, of the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. Then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah and Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found there, and the men of war. Oh, that's going to make old King Nebuchadnezzar a little angry. Came to pass the second day after he had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it, that there came certain from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, even 80 men, having their beards shaven and their clothes rent, and having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand, to bring them to the house of the Lord. Now, what's wrong with that there, Jonathan? Mm-hmm. These men coming to the house of the Lord have mixed in pagan practices with Judeo practices. They rent their clothes. That's good. Shave their heads. That's a sign of humility. Cut themselves. No, God never said to do that.
Yeah, that's Baal worship.
Yes, that is Baal worship. And they intermingled all these things. They don't even know how to practice the Judeo law anymore.
You know, the technical term for that is voodoo.
Voodoo.
At that point. Voodoo. You take religions and mix them all together. Mm-hmm. That's what voodoo means.
Really?
Yep.
So they're coming into God's house in a way that is... that's not appropriate. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went forth to Mizpah to meet them, weeping all along as he went. Came to pass, as he met them, he said unto them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And it was so, when they came into the midst of the city, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, slew them, cast them into the midst of the pit, he and the men that were with him. So it all boils down: obedience or disobedience. You know, God has choreographed this book. I say it over and over and over again. Obey God. Things will go good with you, Christian. disobey God, things will go bad with you, Christian. Doesn't matter that you've accepted Christ, it still requires obedience. God says, my acceptance of Christ, does that give me a license to sin? God forbid. He will lay the rod on my back as he has just done here to the nation of Israel and the king who just for 23 years over the lifespan of three different kings disobeyed. Don't be on that side of the coin, Christian. God just wants your heart and he wants your obedience. Been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.